Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. I see you are listening to the Iron Jaw Podcast, brought to you by Michael Davis. Hopefully you can hear me. This is actually the first time I'm actually doing this with this program. So let's get to it, shall we? First of all, you can call in if you'd like. There's a number, 347-989-0920. Now, let's dig into it, shall we? You know how the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers, how that game turned out, right? So, there's all this controversy between, was it a catch, is it a catch, or was it an incomplete pass? Some are even debating whether it was a touchdown. I have no idea why. But, I think you should hear from a Dallas Cowboys fan. First of all, I do not see how it was a catch when I was originally watching it. Dev did take three steps, but, you know, didn't really hold on to it the entire way. I saw his knee was down and forearm and everything. Also saw the ground, maybe not the ball out, sort of. It's a tough call, but if you go back to Calvin Johnson, same thing happened to him. Personally, it wasn't the officiating crew. It was just a bad rule. Now, I will say this. There was a play earlier. Packers were driving down at the end of the first half to kick a field goal. And Rodgers threw it over the middle and to Randall Cobb. And the ball actually hit the ground, but they went to the booth review and they ruled it a catch. Okay. Me personally, I don't know how you can call the Randall Cobb a catch while you call Dez Bryant a no catch. I mean, I'm not saying Dez Bryant caught it. I'm just saying that, you know, please make the game fair as possible. And I don't understand. How can you make those mistakes on booth reviews? Can somebody explain that to me? I mean, though, booth reviews are supposed to get the calls right, get the game right. If you're telling me that, you know, we're going to have this much controversy over booth reviews and whether or not they got it right, what's the point of having it? I've always liked the idea of just, you know, freezing an iframe and then just circling around, going up and down, seeing, okay, that's obviously not possible. Difficult thing. First of all, congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. You guys obviously won, and I am not disputing that. Dallas had a great season. It just didn't end the way they wanted it to. And it was disappointing as a Cowboys fan from that standpoint. Dallas Cowboys did send in some reviews. Obviously, the Dez Bryant catch to be reviewed. And also, Tony Romo threw the touchdown pass to Tyler Klutz, I believe. And Clay Matthews went after his legs way after the ball was released. To me, it looked like a late hit. Of course, I may have used biased eyes in that heat of the moment. But I got to say something real quick. Clay Matthews is a dirty player. You can't get by it. Saying Clay Matthews is a dirty player is like saying Peyton Manning is not a clutch quarterback, is not a top five quarterback. I mean, it's a legitimate opinion. It just isn't going to be said out in public. You know, you're supposed to say Tony Romo can't win the big one. You're supposed to say Tom Brady can lead you 98 yards down the field. You're supposed to say Michael Jordan is the best of all time. You're supposed to say LeBron James can't lace up Hakeem Olajuwon's shoes. You're supposed to say Kobe Bryant is a great shooter, elite, clutch. And you're supposed to say Derek Jeter is the best of this generation. It's just like saying Ndamukong Suh is a dirty player, which he is. And some of those other sayings are true in my eyes. But you cannot say Clay Matthews is a dirty player. But he is. That one shot to Romo's knee way after the play, and also launching himself into the air on Tony Romo. Both flags, but none of it was thrown by the referees. But yet we saw Ndamukong Suh step on Aaron Rodgers' calf just about 100 times worth of replays that week. So take it as it's worth. I just think if it was Ndamukong Suh doing either of those hits, you would have heard a lot more about it. Now, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. I think Clay Matthews should get some sort of punishment for it. You know, I think a $50,000 fine. And let me clarify why I say $50,000. Ndamukong Suh originally was suspended a game and a huge paycheck for that step on Aaron Rodgers' calf. Clay Matthews, he doesn't have a huge history as much as Ndamukong Suh, but two hits, you know, $50,000. Don't suspend him playoff game or else you'll hear a lot about it. Just let Clay Matthews know it's not going to be tolerated. You know, I've always thought that players should be fine, like half paycheck for a hit. You know, or just something like that. I mean, not something like wearing Beats by Dre. But, anyways, I have to move on. Great job by the Packers. I'll get into the conference championship with Seattle next podcast. Speaking of Seattle, they beat the Panthers at home. Man, I saw that coming, okay? And what I mean by that, not just the Seattle win, not just Seattle blowing the Panthers away. Funny thing, I was on that one of the last drives of the game. I was beside my family, and you know, Cam Newton was driving, and oh, they're going to get a touchdown. No, watch it. Cam throws an interception. And guess who it was too? Cam Chancellor. And Cam Chancellor took it to the house. Just telegraph that. Oh my goodness. Okay. Also would like to throw this in here. Cam Chancellor probably probably solidified himself as the most important guy on that Seahawks defense. You know, I love Richard Sherman. I do believe he's the best corner in the game. And I love that pass rush with Michael Bennett. But, I mean, Kim Chancellor is the guy who sets the tone for the Seahawks. He doesn't talk much. He just makes hard hits and makes big plays. And, oh, my goodness, he played Jack Rabbit on those field goal attempts. Oh, man, that was probably the funniest series of field goals I have ever seen. But now the Panthers go home. They exceeded my expectations. I thought early in the season they were done. They won their final four games, December time, got into the playoffs, beat the Cardinals. Don't know how much credit they should get for that one. But just couldn't match up to the Seahawks. Just about any other team in the NFL can't match up to the Seahawks at home. Except it's a division rival in some cases, and Dallas Cowboys. No, I was going to put that in there. And before I move on to the AFC, I just would love to say that Russell Wilson, okay, I am not into win playoff, you're big, you know, wins matter for a quarterback's legacy. If Russell Wilson wins the Super Bowl with that, I don't care if he has a defense, I don't care if he has a running game, you know, he should be talked about as a new top five quarterback. I don't see Peyton Manning there. I don't even know if he comes back next year. I don't see Drew Brees there. I don't see Andrew Luck there just yet. You know, people will debate, you know, he has less than Russell Wilson and still making the playoffs. I see Luck as so much receiving weapons, it's crazy. Wilson doesn't have that. Wilson's throwing to Doug Baldwin. Like, what sense does that make? I think Russell Wilson needs to be in that conversation of top five quarterbacks. You know, a few years it's been Peyton, Brady, Rodgers, Brees, and whoever you think the fifth one is, whether it's Roethlisberger, whether it's Luck, whether it's Ryan, whether it's Flacco, whether it's Romo, it's just, I don't think the top five quarterbacks in the NFL is much solid anymore. So much good quarterbacks and quarterbacks who have their bad moments. So let's move on to the AFC. I got about 15 minutes left on this podcast. Obviously, we want to get to the Broncos game against the Colts. Complete ironic situation with the Colts going into Denver and beating Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. Broncos went to the Super Bowl last year, so much hype with the offense, historical offense, not taking that away from them, but get beat by the number one defense in the NFL, a historic defense. And look what they go out in free agency and do. They get DeMarcus Ware, they get Aqib Talib, they get T.J. Ward. Oh, by the way, they have like $35 million in cap space they can use. I got that wrong. Besides the Titans, Raiders, Jags, Bucks, you know, those bad teams. You know, Broncos have a lot of cap space to use. I'm not sure the exact number, though. So, yeah, I expect them to make another pursue at free agents this offseason. How ironic Peyton Manning loses to his former team in the playoffs, to his successor in the Colts. I don't think it gets any more rare than that. Obviously led to John Fox's dismissal. And John Fox leaving. And them saying that they will not go after Adam Gase as their head coach and Jack Del Rio's leaving. I think Peyton's done. I see a 0% chance Peyton Manning comes back. Why? You know, being you cannot have Peyton Manning come back and learn a whole new system, even ones that's catered to him, and expect, because he'll want to come back for a Super Bowl if he sees contention there. I don't believe he does, and I don't either. I think the Broncos are in a process where tires. They go after free agents. They try to find their next quarterback in the draft, which I don't think it's Brock Osweiler. I don't see Peyton Manning coming back. Great career, first ballot Hall of Famer. Won two in Super Bowls, sub 500 record in the playoffs, and nobody will talk about it. Best quarterback of all time? No. No. You know, people will argue he is the best. People argue he's top five, Mount Rushmore, top ten. You could say top ten. It's hard ranking him. Peyton's just a headache. We are heading into our last divisional round. Remember, you can call in 347-989-0920. This is my first podcast, so if you want to call in, that's fine. I'd love to see how it works. If not, that's okay, too. Next up is the Patriots and Ravens. How? I honestly thought the Ravens had a legitimate shot at beating the Ravens. I mean, and honestly, if they did, they would have been my Super Bowl pick, no matter who went from the Broncos and Colts. Ravens would have been my Super Bowl pick out of the AFC. I think the AFC wins it this year, but really, really good win by the Patriots. Tom Brady just is Tom Brady, you know, and this defense is okay. I think the best defense they've had in a few years. You know, Julian Edelman does it all for him. Julian Edelman, that dude plays with a lot of heart. And a lot of passion and a lot of toughness. No getting around it. I think he's more valuable than Wes Welker ever was. And you may call me crazy. And Brady loved Wes Welker. I just don't feel that Wes Welker was his number one target. I felt Wes Welker was the number three behind Gronk and, you know, Aaron Hernandez. Can't mention that name on radio. But I believe Julian Edelman is Brady's number one target over Gronk. You know, not dismissing Gronk, obviously, but you know how I feel about that. So, while the Ravens, they go home another year. Besides that Super Bowl, once they trade Anquan Boldin as a sympathy to Jim Harbaugh, totally mess this team up. You can't lose Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Danielle Ellerbe, Pollard, Anquan Boldin, and expect this team to do something, you know, deep into the playoffs. I love Anquan Boldin. I thought he was their main reason they won the Super Bowl. Call me crazy right there, but I believe it wholeheartedly. I wonder how many people are listening right now. Doesn't say right now. I think their stats are down. Ooh, I hear someone's listening. Yeah. Shout out to Austin Parlier who's listening. Which I have just a little under seven minutes remain, so I'm just going to go a little bit off topic here. Austin's listening, so I'm going to admit that Duke is not ready for a national championship in basketball. He's going to love that. I just feel that you got to play defense and you got to play cohesively, not be about me. And I just don't see freshmen who, you know, get it. You know, you have the case of Kentucky a few years back. Disappointing. If Jalil Okafor leaves without winning a title at Duke, it'll be disappointing. You know Justice Winslow is leaving. Quinn Cook has to leave. Me and there are a case of great talent leaving and nothing to show except maybe a couple records. And you know that player going on to have success in the NBA. Nothing for Duke. I think we did pretty good right here. I am going to list my top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now, okay? Okay. I believe number one is Aaron Rodgers, okay? I'm just going to get that out of the way. You know, best quarterback in the game, just places the ball perfectly, mobile. He was hurt this past weekend against the Cowboys, and he just eluded sacks, and he didn't even move out of the pocket. It was like sidestep, and the defender would just miss him wholeheartedly. How does that even happen? Can someone call in and explain to me how Aaron Rodgers eludes so many sacks on one leg? Insane. Okay. Number two is Tom Brady. Gotta give him credit. He has weapons around him. But he makes Bill Belichick better than what he actually is. No offensive line. Just Tom Brady has a few more good years left. I believe so. Just I don't think the Super Bowl's in him. Even if he makes it to the championship, to the Super Bowl this year, I think if he meets up with Seattle, Seattle's going to rip him apart. You know, he was down and depressed after losing to the Giants the second time. Seattle's going to leave him in a mental state. So unhealthy. Number third, I believe, is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's been doing it so long. You know, just underrated in my books. You know, he has Antonio Brown. He has, you know, he finally has a running game now. But what he does with, I don't even think past Antonio Brown that his targets are worth much. I mean, Heath Miller, I don't even know if he's still with the Steelers, to be honest with you. And that's a testament to Ben Roethlisberger. Everyone around him looked good. Number fourth is going to come as someone like, so someone's going to come to my window and shoot me right now. But number four is Tony Romo. Romo just hasn't had a team around him. Excuse number one. But he makes plays. He played smarter this year. He holds just about every record in the Cowboys book. And, you know, statistically is the top five quarterback in NFL history of all 32 teams. Let's get that out of the way. Not just over 8 minutes install ball. You know, Romo finally has the offensive line, the running game, doesn't have to do everything by himself, makes less mistakes. You know, I think he comes back next year and wins the league MVP. I honestly do. I don't think there's any way around it unless Aaron Rodgers. Or unless they finally give it to J.J. Watt. And number five. No. Is Andrew Luck. No, I'm just kidding. It's Russell Wilson. Colts fans are going to hate me today. I was just told it's 90 seconds from me. Okay. Quickly, Russell Wilson doing it with nothing on the offense except a running game. Don't believe his offensive line. Is that good? No receivers around them. Andrew Luck's number six, though. So Colts fans, don't strangle me yet. I just don't think Luck's proven to me that much. Thank you for watching or listening. Sound like Cesaro for wrestling fans out there. A podcast will come on later this week. Today's Wednesday, so we'll likely do it Friday or Saturday, and that will talk mainly about the matchups coming up Sunday night for the chance to go on to the Super Bowl. Thank you for listening. Dez, that was not a catch, but please change that rule. Thank you, and you just heard the iron jaw around some pretty solid sports opinions.